Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a good-looking group of people today. Amen. Glory to God. We're almost running out of seats here. Praise the Lord. May have to expand the sanctuary or something. Amen. Glory to God. Are you happy to be in church today? Good, because I'm glad to be here too. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to see you. And it's a lot better to do this when there's people that are happy to be here than when you make them be here by gunpoint. Praise the Lord. Or you force them to be in here by coercion or anything else. You know, it's so much better when the body comes together. Praise the Lord. When the brethren dwell in the sistren. I don't really know if that's a word, but I like to throw it in there. Amen. But when we come together and we have one purpose and one goal, and that's to hear from God and to get all that he has for us. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, if you've been following along in the last few weeks, I've been trying to finish a message on called My God Shall Supply. Praise the Lord. So this will be My God Shall Supply, part 3. Glory to God. And we'll see if we get through it today. And if we don't, praise the Lord, there's always next week unless Jesus comes. And if Jesus comes, we'll just believe that we'll finish it in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God is good. But, you know, last week I started off the message by talking to you about balance a little bit. You know, I talked just something that was on my heart. And what you know, I had another meeting with God in the shower today. I know that sounds weird, but it just seems like that's where sometimes where he likes to speak to me on things. Amen. And this morning as I was getting ready for church, I heard these words quite clearly. I heard the word focus. Amen. Focus. And the Lord started showing me some things about focus, about our focus. You know, and I saw it like this. Has anyone ever looked through a telescope, like at a planet or anything? Anybody ever, you at least have seen somebody or you've seen it on TV or something? Or you know that telescopes exist and that somebody does it, amen? But the thing about a telescope is that it's a device that allows you to focus and to narrow in on something, right? Amen. Now, how many know that, I don't know how many millions of miles out there, but there's a planet floating out there in space. You probably don't think about a whole lot, but a planet named Mars. Amen. And that planet's just floating around out there, kind of in an orbit, but it's still floating out there in space somewhere. We don't think about it a whole lot, but it's out there. And there's a lot of stuff. They've been sending, probes, and they've sent little rovers, and, they sent Fidos and everything else, too. Glory to God to go over Mars and to explore Mars and to see what we can learn from it. And obviously, there's things that we can learn from it. Amen. But it's so far out there. But if you zero in on it, if you can't really see it. If you look in the night sky, sometimes you can see it at the right time. You'll see a little red dot out there, and you can know that that's Mars. But if you get that telescope and you focus in on it, you zero in, you get to see a lot more. Amen. And even if you go there, of course, you can get to see a lot more. Well, the Lord was kind of dealing with me about this, about whatever we focus on is what consumes us or what we know about. Amen. You know, when you're looking through a telescope, you can't be paying attention to other things. When you're looking in a telescope, you know, you can't just be like standing back here looking at it, and you know, you have to be really intently gazing, and you have to dial it right in and get in on it. And that's when you see, and that's when you know. Well, the same thing is with the things of God. You know, if we're focused on all these other things in life, if we're focused on this thing and this distraction, that distraction, if, you know, we're focused on our job, or we're focused on our business, or we're focused on, just whatever, or finding a spouse, or having kids, or dealing with your kids, all this stuff can pull us away and bring our focus to something other than what God wanted us to be. Not that any of those things are bad in of themselves, and that there should never be focus in those things, but our main focus should be God. Amen. Because when our main focus is God, when we zero in on him, when we hone in on him, he brings all those other things together. Amen. He brings the knowledge of all those other things together. And so God was dealing with me to share with you about that this morning. And I just think it would be helpful. So as we go about our weeks, let's focus on him. Amen. Make God the focus of your day. Start your day off with God as your focus. And as you do these things, the other stuff in life will just seem to work out. Amen. God will give you direction for it. He'll help you with it. He'll teach you what you need to know. Amen. And that's one of the wonderful things about following God. The world doesn't know what the heck they're doing. They're stabbing in the dark, but not us. We're Christians. We know better. We know the word, and the word of God is enough to teach us. It's enough to help us. It's enough to set us free. Amen. So My God Shall Supply, part 3. Amen. We're going to turn to Hebrews 6:1. This is where we're going to start here. You know, we've been talking, of course, we've been seeing, or hopefully you've been seeing, that how God supplies is in the connection and primarily through the local church. That's what we're focusing on here, is our connection with the local church. And but you know, the Lord has just showed me so much over the years. He's taught me so much about how everything in my life is connected to how I connect to the things that He's doing. Connecting to His will, connecting to His plan, connecting to His local church. Amen. And these are the areas where people are truly set free. And so we're moving on to greater things. You know, I was saying this in Corey last night. You know, the Lord has recently been showing me that, you know, because as a pastor, a lot of times you deal with issues of people. And in a lot of sermons, you're dealing, the sermon will be honed in on different issues that people face and stuff like that. And that's right and good. But if we only ever stay in dealing with our issues, we never move on to the greater things. We never move on to more of what God wants us to do. And sometimes we find this, and I found this truth over and over again, that as you're going through life and you kind of seem to get in a rut or kind of get stuck, you need to just keep going. You know, you need to stop. Okay, you got to stop focusing on the rut and just keep moving forward. Amen? Because if you're not moving forward, you're not moving with God. God is a forward-moving God. And so we see in here in Hebrews 6:1. Now, I preached a message, so I think it was several years ago. I think we even have it around or whatever and CD called the Christianity 101, right? And it was focused on these set of scriptures, but this, I was drawn to this one in particular, the beginning of this one, and it says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and from faith towards God. Amen? And so, what I like is the caption in my Bible right before this section of Scripture, because there's a lot more in this section of Scripture to bring this in context. But it says the peril of not progressing in my Bible. I don't know if your Bible says the same, but the peril of not progressing. You know, peril is it's like destruction. It's a bad thing. If you've come to peril, you've got to that place. You know, I didn't say pearl. I said peril. Pearls are good. Peril is not. Amen. Peril is a thing. It's where everything falls apart. It's the destruction. It's kind of the end of it. You know, there's no hope left when peril has presented itself. Right? Amen. Well, in the beginning of my Bible, even though it's not the Word of God, it's describing what you're about to read about, and that is the peril of not progressing. You know, the Bible says that we need to leave the elementary principles and we need to move on with God is essentially what the beginning of the Scripture and this section of Scripture is talking about, and not going backwards, not falling away from God. Because here's the thing, if you don't move forward in God, what happens is you move backwards. And if you're moving backwards, you're falling away. That's what we call backsliding. Backsliding is not a good thing. It's never, it's something I've done in my life, and it's not something that's desirable at all, believe me, amen? But when you backslide, you know, things become harder. Even the basic things of God, following God, become harder and harder. I've noticed this with Christians so many times, even good Christians that have fallen into backsliding, that they get to a place where they just can't even know what ends up anymore. Where basic things that they used to just be okay with now are just robbing them. And the peril of that, there's a peril at the end of that. There's a place where that you can get to through backsliding that's not good. Amen? But backsliding is when the reason backsliding generally happens is because somebody is either deceived or they don't know, or not connected to what God is doing. And what God is doing, He's doing through the local church. There's a lot of people that have taken importance in recent years, taken importance off the local church, which is dangerous. God has not called us to be separate. He has not called us to be out there floating around, not connected to a local body. Because God's plan for our life, the blessings in our life, are connected to God's plan for the collective. You cannot find blessing in your life, true godly blessing. You know, you can find little bits of blessing. God blesses everybody. Amen. How many know that God is good to everybody? God loves everybody. And even the Bible says He causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. God is good to everybody. Amen. But just because God is good to everybody as a blanket doesn't mean that everybody is walking in the fullness of his blessing. And so when you're seeking things for your life, you have to understand that the first and foremost place you're going to find that is not just coming to church. Coming to church is great. That's a good first step. But if all you ever do is come to church, you're doing the basic things. You're not moving on from the basic things, the basic faith towards God. This is real good. You ready for this? Basic faith towards God says being in church is not just something you should do. It is imperative that you do it. Being in church is basic faith of God. So if you are someone, I don't care how advanced you think you are. We have people, I've met people who think they're prophets, who think they're this, who think they're that. They think they're super spiritual, but they don't have revelation of being in the local church. And what does that tell us? It tells us they are a baby Christian. They are in basic faith. They know nothing. Nothing. The very base thing that we need to know is we need to get connected to the local church, because the local church is what God is doing. Now, what local church do you need to connect with? Obviously, it's this one. I mean, if you haven't, no, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. You connect to the one where God has connected you. But the thing is you get connected, amen? And once you're connected, you be connected. And what it means to be connected is not just you show up, but you get connected. You understand that what God is going to do in your life is connected to what God is doing there. Because what God is doing here is what he's going to also do in all the lives of the people that show up here, amen? Now, you know, what God does on a day-to-day basis, I touched on this last night, and it just seems good to bring it up again, but, you know, God isn't moving in these big, massive events. It's not like we have to have huge outreaches just to prove that God is doing something. Outreaches are good, and when God has called us to do them, we'll surely do them. Amen. But God isn't always calling us to do big outreaches. He isn't calling us to have necessarily a weekly soup kitchen or a weekly this or a weekly that. But what God does is he does things in little events over the course of a lifetime. Amen. And as people are truly connected, when they come and they say, yes, I'm part of that. It's part of me. It's part of who we are. You know, when you feel like something is missing because you haven't been in service. You know, last week I had John Gitchard preaching Corey, and this week when I stepped in there, it was like coming home again. It's like I had been away for a million years. You know what I mean? That's how I felt. And it's not just because I'm the pastor; it's because I'm connected to what God's doing. Well, it's easy for me to be connected because God has called me to do that. But you have to understand the same thing about your own lives, that God has called you to do things as well. And so it is common for people to come and sit and feed for themselves and not be connected to anything the church is about. But God gave us a local church to grow us into his calling for each of us, to be part of something bigger than us. Does anyone believe that there's more to the universe than you? Right? Now, I know it sounds like kind of a funny statement that I would say that. But yet the way that most people live their lives, and I'm not, this isn't just to lambaste you and say, you know, this is just kind of a human trait. The way that we generally live our lives is self-focused. God knew this. It's all through the Bible. In fact, the Bible teaches us to lose self and gain Christ. In gaining Christ, we lose self. We die to ourselves. So what does that mean? We lose self-focus. We stop focusing on us. Now today, you know, this, if you want to just know what God is doing, it's pretty much opposite what the world's doing. And look what's happening today in the world. Notice what is almost the key, no matter what, like, social part of whatever you get into, you can see this. It's all about focusing on the self. You know, you got to do this for you, and you got to have me time, and it's about you, and you this, and you that, and iPhones, right? iPhones, iPads, iDevices, all those types of things. You know, all of those ideas of focusing on what you want, making it about you. Even, you know, we have things like social media, which, in all honesty, let's just face it. Social media is not about connecting to other people. It's about letting everybody else know how awesome you are. Right? Isn't that what social media is? I mean, listen, I even use it to a degree, and I'm just telling you that, you know, it's the same thing. There's pride in all of social media. That's what it is. When you post something, you're saying, I have something to say, I have something to show, I'm somebody, and I want other people to see it. Amen? That's just really what it is. Glory to God. Now, you know, is that bad completely? Not completely. You know, God has given us ability to of expression and stuff like that, and so those are good things. But let's keep it, you know, and let's keep the knowledge of it for what it is. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, so it's not bad if, I don't think it's bad if you post a selfie. I would say if you go through your social media and all it is selfies, it's probably a little bit really self-oriented. Amen. Glory to God. But, you know, a selfie once in a while isn't bad or something like that. And I'm not just saying that because I post a selfie once in a while. I'm just saying it because, you know, it's not, like, if it's not consuming you and it's not sinful, well, praise God. Hallelujah. But anyways, amen, what are we talking about? Talking about the local church. So God has brought us into a local body to do greater things, to have greater, you know, a greater walk with him. Now, that doesn't mean that he neglects you and throws you aside and say he doesn't have a plan for your life. God's plan for your life isn't just about the local church either. God's plan, Jeremiah 29:11, is about you. But he also, it's about you and how you connect to his plan. Amen. And so he's going to use you and use things in you. Amen. Through you and all that stuff. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. This is where I've been trying to get to for 2 weeks. Amen. 2 Corinthians. And this is just setting up where I'm trying to get to afterwards, which is even better. So I better not spend a lot of time here. Amen. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 1, verses 20 through 24. Yeah, I'm gonna set this up ahead of time too. I should have even maybe sooner. But you know, if this kind of message saddens you a little bit because you feel like, oh, I'm getting rebuked or getting, like, don't look at it that way. This message is about taking us higher. This message is the kind of stuff, this understanding is the kind of stuff that gets us into the miracle working power of God. This is the kind of stuff that gets people set free. This is where we have the most impact in the natural world we will have through the understanding of the things that I've been preaching over the last few weeks. And it is such a blessing. And this is the other thing. This is the thing that I've found, and this is one of the reasons I preach this with so much energy and so much fervency and so much, and just so much, even elation, getting excited about it. Because my wife, one of the things my wife and I have discovered, one of the greatest things we have discovered, is how God blesses us through being connected to his plan. It is unreal. When I look at my life today, I'm just like, it's unreal to me how I got here. And the only difference between us and somebody who hasn't gotten here is just being connected to that plan. Because the thing that I know is that God does this with all his people. There's nobody he withholds anything from, especially somebody who really truly desires him. And so if you're willing to go, he's willing to take you, amen? Praise the Lord. God wants us blessed. So 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, and it says here, for all the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. You know, this is so awesome, to the glory of God through us. You know, I actually preached this in Corey last night. It was quite exciting, and it's good revelation. But, you know, God's, we are examples. We are ambassadors on the earth, but we are representations of God to the earth. And so the people of the earth are not going to see God's glory through through just Jesus appearing, you know, 300 feet tall or something like that. Or they're gonna see God's glory through our lives, or at least they should be. Amen. And so this is exactly what God has decided should be this way. Amen. And so when it says all the promises of God in Jesus are yes, now that's the most important part to realize. We have to understand that through Jesus. Like, so, you know, some people get uncomfortable with that we are to be God's glory. But didn't Jesus say we are the light of the world? Yeah. Didn't Jesus say we are the salt of the earth? Yeah. Glory to God. Well, if we're the light of the world, that's exactly what that is. Glory is essentially God's shining light, is what that is, amen? And so that's the magnificence of God, which is that brilliance, you know? Whenever we've gone to like the ocean or something like that, and the sun is out, and you look out over the water, and the water's flat, and you just see that shimmering sunshine off the, you know, when we've gone down to see Reverend Greer down in Pensacola, and down there they have those white beaches, and it's just so bright when you go there and you drive down the road, because the sand is just reflecting that glory. That's what we are supposed to be. We're like that white sand, not because we're white skin, because not all of us are white skin, but we're like that white sand. We are reflections of God's glory. We are a mirror to God's glory, amen? We're like, God's looking in the mirror, we're the mirror, and everybody else gets to see it. Praise the Lord. But before we get too much in our heads, that isn't because we did anything, it's because it's in him. And that's the point that I'm trying to say. See, you can't separate God's glory in our lives, and we shouldn't. We just need to keep it in perspective and understand that it is only through Christ. Through Christ, we get to be God's glory, amen? Praise the Lord. And this is why the promises are all yes and amen. Because God wants to fulfill his truth on this earth. And he does so through us. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but that's pretty awesome to me. Praise the Lord. Verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ, and has anointed us is God. Praise the Lord. Now, again, I got to stop in that word establishes, because that's to make set. You know, I always think about like concrete, but when something is established, it's set, it's immovable, amen? And so we see that it's God who's established. He's talking about, now this is, Paul was the apostle, he was a prophet, and he was a minister to these people, right? And he's saying, praise the Lord, he's talking about how God establishes them and us. The ministry in us, amen? In other words, he's connecting it together. You can't be established if you're not connected together. You know, I can't stress this enough, but the separation that so many Christians live in, it's detrimental to their own life, and it hurts the body of Christ. It is never the will of God, and if somebody thinks that the direction of God has led them to seek God on their own and shun the body of Christ, they are deceived. They're following deceiving spirits. That means they're following the devil himself, and they are getting into pride. It is pride to think that you can do it on your own, because you can't. You can't do it on your own. The Bible says that Jesus looked on the multitude and in compassion, because they were scattered and faint like sheep having no shepherd. They were out there on their own doing their own thing. They were scattered and faint. Jesus looked at it. If what I'm saying is not true, then Jesus is a liar. You cannot find God completely on your own. You can't get there. You can't be in the plan of God on your own. And if you think that you are deceived. And so we have to know that our plan is connected to what God is doing. Lord, help me say this today, all the way that I need to say to establish these truths. Because I'm seeing some things in my heart right now that I can't quite express with words. I'm seeing some understanding and kind of a gap that I want, that I desire to bridge in the spirit. I desire to bridge in your hearts to what exactly the truth, the fullness of what God's saying. Amen. So we pray with the hope of the Holy Spirit we'll get there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Who has also sealed us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. He guarantees. The spirit is given to us as a guarantee. Amen? Praise the Lord. I keep hearing that Cajun guy. Remember the Cajun guy? A guarantee. Remember that? Does anyone remember that commercial? It's like we got the Holy Spirit on the inside of it. I guarantee. Hallelujah. I doubt the Holy Spirit has a Southern accent, a Cajun accent, but if he does, praise the Lord. Glory to God. He guarantees it. He's sitting there. You know, the Holy Spirit bears witness with me all the time. Praise God. Of the goodness of God. All the time is bearing witness on the inside of me. And sometimes I don't even know that it's the Holy Spirit, but it is. Amen. When I mean in the moment, I don't recognize that it maybe is the Holy Spirit, but you know, but I know that it is, praise the Lord. Because it's always pointing me to Jesus, amen? And to a closer walk with him. Amen. Where was I? I'm completely lost here. Guarantee, yeah, oh yeah, there it is, praise the Lord. 23, moreover, I call God as witness against my soul that to spare you I came no more to Corinth, not that we in verse 24, not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. Now that last verse there, 24, I wanna read in the Amplified to you, if you don't mind. It says, not that we have dominion over you and lord it over your faith, but rather that we work with you as fellow laborers. Yes, see, this is the point. That you know, when we talk about submission and stuff like this, and I've been talking a lot about this in conversations this week and in the last few weeks and everything. Everything with God, I'm just going to help you with something right now. Everything with God, if you want to move up in God, if you want to have a closer relationship with God, everything with God is consumed with one word, and that word is submission. Yeah. Everything you do for God, it means you have to submit to something. And so what he's saying here is not that we have dominion over you. Like when I talk about submission to like a pastor, for example, I'm not talking that I need to have dominion over your life, that I need to lord over your lives and direct you and you do this and you do this. And if you don't listen to me, then you're not listening to God. That's not it at all. And see, Paul clears that up right here. He says, not that we lord it over your faith, but rather we work with you, look at this, as fellow laborers to promote your joy. See, when submission is like this, submission is a yielding of yourself to something that's greater than you are. When a minister is ministering the word, if they're ministering by the direction of the Holy Spirit, if they're ministering the word of God, they are not standing, they are standing there as representations of Jesus himself in the church. That's exactly what Jesus said, how they receive you is how you receive me. You can't separate those two things. That does not mean I'm standing here as Jesus himself. It means I am a representation of that. And if I minister the word according to the Spirit and according to the word, then you do need to submit to that. Because it's not my word that's being ministered to you, it's the word of God. It's the things that God wants to say that are being ministered to you, because God isn't going to come here and give you a message. God isn't going to spend a lot of time on earth giving you messages. Why? Because he didn't set it up to work that way. Maybe in the beginning he did when he walked and talked with Adam, but we know that that was lost through sin. We know that we get that back when we go to heaven, when we get to be in his presence again. Remember, going to heaven isn't a bad thing. We go there in the right time, but it's not a bad thing if we transition. Amen. I'm going to, by the way, keep plugging this until we're so, like, not afraid of death that it just rolls off our backs like water off a duck's back. Does water roll off a duck's back? Yeah, amen. I thought so. Glory. That's why they say that, because they wouldn't say that if it didn't happen. True. Praise the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. And lord it over your faith, but rather that we work with you as fellow laborers to promote your joy. For in your faith, in your strong and welcome, look at that, welcome. Do you realize to have welcome conviction means you're welcoming the word of God. In order to welcome something that is opposite, listen, the word of God does not line up, the spirit of God does not line up with our natural beings. Just so you know. If you've ever wondered why you struggle with your flesh, sin or otherwise, it's because your flesh lusts and wars against the spirit. The Bible tells us that. And the spirit lusts and wars against the flesh, right? Those two things don't work together. Amen? So in order to welcome the word of God, what must you do? I'm going to give you a hint. It starts with that word that I just mentioned to you a few minutes ago that starts with S-U-B. No, submarine sandwich. We're all thinking about lunch. No, submit. Yes, we submit. We have to submit to the word of God. We got to say, yes, this is truth. That means that this truth, no matter what I thought 5 minutes ago, this is my new truth. Because this is the word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And so welcome conviction to belief that Jesus is the Messiah, through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. You stand firm. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we understand that what God is doing, he does through the processes that he has set up. And that process begins with the instruction in the local church. Now, there's some people that claim, you know, I go back to this often. You know, I think I even touched on it here recently. I started talking about buildings and stuff like that and having the outer shell and stuff like that. And some people try to say, well, the early church, they didn't have buildings. We're more blessed than they are. We're further along than they are. It is a blessing that we don't have to, in Mayville, New York, be outside right now just because, or all crowd into someone's house. No, but we have a building that we can come gather that has, all the facilities to support a group of people that bring more people in. This is not, some people look at the church as like, and what it is, it's somebody who's gotten deceived and it's got a lot of other people who are deceived thinking wrong. The church is important. The building is important. Where we get to come together is important. Amen? Praise the Lord. Just as like, and why would we, with everything else in life, it's so amazing to me that people don't really consider these things, because it's like everything else in life. You don't want to sleep in a dirt hole, do you? You don't want to sleep in a sewer. There's people in New York City, they call the term, I don't know if it's politically correct now, but the term they give them was called mole people. And there's up to like 16 different levels of different just tunnels and everything under New York City. And there's people, there's whole cities of people that live down there. We're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of homeless people that live down there. Some of these people barely ever surface. They have little communities down there. It's even said that some of them even have pseudo governments down there. I don't know about all that. I'm not going down there to find out. But this is what we do know, that even in that, that is still not highest and best. Because I'm going to tell you something. On the surface level of New York City, it stinks like a urinal. That's what it smells like. I love New York City. My wife and I love to get to go there and get to walk around and see stuff. There's a lot of cool things there. But there's also a lot of disgusting things there. On the surface level, there's rats. If on the surface there's rats, what's hiding underneath the surface? Amen? That's what I'm saying. Like when you think about, you look at a toilet, you wouldn't eat off a toilet probably, would you? But what about where the toilet goes? Would you eat there? But there's people that eat. But see, that's what I mean. So don't tell me that the outer shell doesn't matter, because the outer shell does matter. Does God want you to sleep in a sewer? No, absolutely not. Does he want you to sleep in a gutter? Absolutely not. God wants you to sleep in something that's comfortable. He wants you to sleep in something nice. Even if you have something nice, it's nice to have a nice bed. Amen? I remember for many years we had a used bed. A used bed wasn't ideal. It wasn't enjoyable. When we got a new bed, we're like, we're never going back to having a used bed again. Now, if you have a used bed, thank God for the used bed and watch it bring you a new bed. Because that's exactly what you'll do. God wants us in better. See, God likes the outer shell to be good. He likes the outer shell to be, he likes that we have nice comfy chairs, that we're not sitting Indian style on the ground. Glory to God. Is that politically correct? I don't know. We're not sitting crisscross applesauce on the ground. We're not sitting on. I don't really care about being politically correct. I just don't. Praise the Lord. If you're bothered by it, I wanna. They're there. Praise the Lord. But we're not. We don't have to sit on a log, on a dirt floor, on a stone. Like one thing I've noticed is sometimes every once in a while we'll be like, hey, let's have a picnic on the grass or something like that, like we used to. I don't know if we really do that. Every once in a while we'll. Every once in a great while, I find myself sitting on the grass, and I always think to myself, where's the chair? Why am I doing this? I don't want to stand there. You have these idealized images of, like, when you're a kid playing in the grass. You only did that because you didn't have any sense. You didn't have any sense to get a chair, amen? We know that it's the chair, amen? The chairs are a good thing. First of all, you don't have to go as far to get down to get comfortable. And when you get all the way down, you didn't get comfortable anyways, and you try to get back up, and as you get older, that can get a little bit harder too, and stuff like that. So, but thank God for a chair. I got a chair that I got a little lever on that can launch me right out of it. Amen. And so if I need to, sometimes I do that when the dog's on, because she likes to lay on the foot of the chair when it's up, And sometimes if I have to get up in a hurry, you do that, and the dog shoots off. It's like she's always ready for it though. She's never fallen. When I do that, she's always like, and she's like, it's Superman position, and she lands perfectly every single time. And she's like, she just kind of turned around, look at me, like, all right, what are we doing now? We were laying here. Well, praise God, hallelujah. Got a little sidetracked there, but that was just to help you out a little bit. Praise the Lord. So we stand firm in God, amen. Listen, folks, if we do not think right about the local church, we won't think right about God, because his heart is in the local church. The members that make it up and the things they are called to accomplish together. Amen. You know, there's in that book, actually, if you're reading that book, and if you're not, you should be, and if you still won't, well, praise the Lord, we love you. Just listen now, and you'll get this part of it. But, you know, in that book, one of the things he talks about is how, you know, there's people out there that are evangelizing that don't have a local church. And one of the things is they might go out there and get people saved, but that's all that they do. They don't get them connected to anywhere. They don't have anywhere to connect them. I have a story like that. When I was first coming to know the Lord, rededicating my life really in my early 20s, I worked with this man who was a very strong Christian. He was the first one who introduced me to anything of the Spirit. I had never heard of this stuff before, praying in tongues, things like that. He'd opened the door to a lot of things for me. And to this day, I'm very grateful for that. So I'm not, you know, I don't speak down about him or anything. But one of the things is I remember at the time, you know, he would talk to me about the importance. He's like, man, you got to get in church. You really got to do that. And he knew he was dealing with somebody who was basically new to the faith, who was tender and who needed that guidance and that support and that teaching. Amen. And he's like, and I'm like, okay, well, great. What church do you go to? Well, I don't go to church because there's no real good churches around for his level of. You know, where he's obtained, there's no real good churches that teach. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Like, God will lead everybody to a local church. And maybe the church won't be the best, but through prayer, through faith, through that those kinds of impartations, God can raise that up, or he can move you on. But the thing that I'm trying to highlight here is the instability that was, that even though this man had this faith seemingly, and he did help me, he couldn't direct me anywhere. That wasn't a help to me. And what I learned in years following is that because I even stumbled again after that, and I stumbled really bad. And the reason I stumbled is because I never really got connected anywhere. It wasn't until I finally connected to Family Church in Jamestown. And it's not just because it was Family Church in Jamestown, it's because that's where I got connected. That's what the Lord had for me. But it wasn't until that point that I got connected there that the Lord was able to start driving some of these things out of my life, these bad things out of my life. And, you know, and still, to my knowledge, that man today still isn't going to a local church. His life is still just where it was when he was there. It hasn't changed at all. God has called us to progress. Now, as they say, will he go to heaven? Sure, he'll go to heaven. And I can't wait to see him there. And if I saw him today, I would be open to him and love on him and say, you know, God is good. And it just, I'm so thankful for you and the things that you helped me with. But, you know, the thing is, God has a local church for us all to be connected to. And one of the things is because when we go out there and we change the lives, we start changing lives of people, because it will be our testimonies that changes lives. Yeah. But as we start doing that, we need to be just as excited about the continuing of our faith, yeah, as we were about receiving of our faith. You know, it's easy to go someone like, Jesus saved me. I don't have to go to hell. He put me in this new life and gave me this new hope that I never had before. It's easy to get excited about that. But what about the rest of it? See, we should be able to go to people and say, listen, I have this local church, and I have learned, and I know some of you have gotten the reports, and some of you have even done. Some of you are here because somebody else said that to you. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I got this local church where God has connected me, and he's doing great and wonderful things, and, you know, and we love our pastor and stuff like that. And see, all those things connect people to what God is doing. But, you know, it's when people are kind of lackadaisical about it. Like, yeah, go wherever you want. Or, you know, I have this church, but I don't know. Like, I don't always agree with what pastor says. And I don't always this or that. What do you think somebody else is? How do you think they're hearing that? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I think back to my early days walking in faith. Actually, you know, there was a lot of it. Really, all that is spiritual pride. To think that you know more or have more than everyone else. Amen. Or did you know, that you have been given more revelation than everybody else has been given? Do you have more revelation than Jesus? Praise the Lord. God, the first thing he did was give us the ministry offices. I said the first thing he did after salvation, give us the ministry offices. You absolutely need the ministry offices. And if you walk in a ministry office, you still need a ministry office. I walk in one of the fivefold offices. I do it every day. I live my life as a pastor. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But you know what I've got? I've got a pastor who I submit to, who I listen to, who speaks into my life, who I share things with, and he shares things with me. Glory to God. He knows me. Glory to God. He knows my life. I sow into his life. Praise the Lord. I have another pastor, my pastor's pastor, that I also submit to and listen to and share with, and, you know, talk. When I have things going on in my life that I think that he should know, I share them with him. Praise the Lord. I ask him questions. I actually just had an impromptu lunch. Pastor Michael, this week I happened to go to Fredonia I was going up there. I had to go up there for some business and deal with some stuff. And when I was up there, I decided to stop by the church and see if my buddy Pastor Scott, you all know him, to see if he could go to have some lunch with me. And he said, yeah. And as I was there, I had to stop into Pastor Michael's office for a minute. And I said, hey, I'm going to get some lunch. I don't know if you're hungry or not. See, because I know what that means. What that means is if I get to sit with him, praise the Lord, then I get to start asking questions. And guess what he's always obliged to do? Answer the questions. And it's always more than I expect. Praise the Lord. But see, that's how we grow. That's how we get further. You know, I see him doing the same thing, though. And I see my pastor doing the same thing when they sit around other ministers. We all need the ministry offices. Amen? God has no lone sheep out there just running around with nothing. Amen? So if we don't think right about the local church, now this is what I really wanted to get to. This is important. Now, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 11. And if there's nothing else that I could say, and there's lots of things I could say I am thankful for through this man, but if there was nothing else that I could say I was thankful for of Dr. Dufresne, it was with the teaching of the local church, the local body. And he taught it to us. I think this was the last... One of the last messages that he taught in Jamestown was about, he talked about communion. Now, we're not doing communion today. We will do it again in the future, but we're not doing it today. But, you know, I grew up taking communion in a church and never having any understanding of what it was all about. Never got it. I never understood what communion was, what the purpose of it was. I just thought, you know, when we talk about the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we thought, well, the juice represented the blood, and now it's making me want grape juice. I love grape juice. I always loved communion Sundays when I was a kid because I was like, man, I'm starving, and now they're sending me food, and they're sending me a little juice, and I like that. Amen. And I always look, when the plate came by me, I always look for the biggest piece of bread. Amen. We only do the wafers because I don't know why. Because we don't want anyone to have cut bread, probably. But I look for the biggest piece. Sometimes they'd have like the double piece that somebody didn't cut all the way, you know, through. So you'd get that one. I think I even once took one and put it back and took another one. Amen. I want the body of Christ, but this one just ain't big enough for me. Amen. But this the juice. But this is what I knew of it. You know, I knew the scripture of, you know, it's the representation of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But I didn't know what that means. We are the body of Christ. Amen. And it talks about all this right here. So we're in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. Read through 21. It says, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for better, but for the worse. Ooh. He's correcting them. He said, you're coming together, but not for better, for the worse. And now he explains why. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. Wow. There shouldn't be divisions in this body. Now listen, you're all going to do different things. You all have different tastes. You all have different likes. Some of you like orange, some of you like blue, some of you like neither. That's okay. That's not the divisions it's talking about. Divisions and where we're going. What is the gathering? What is the purpose of coming together? There is a purpose in us coming together, and it is not just about you. Amen. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, is it not to eat the Lord's Supper? For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. Praise God. So you see, this is how people are coming together. They're like, I want to get mine first. Remember how we've talked about, we do this in this church, when we have Soup Sunday or something like that, which we're going to do in faith soon. Darn it. We got it. We're going to do it twice in the same day. Praise God. And we're also instituting Chocolate Sunday. There's a hallelujah. Yeah, chocolate cupcake, ho-ho Sunday. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'll tell you, we'll get people in this church yet. They start hearing we have Chocolate Sunday. I'm going down there to Chocolate Sunday. But that's what, you know, we say that. We're like, we want the older people. We're going to let them go first. What is that? Submission. Listen, a lot there's young people that don't like that, but I'm going to just tell you the truth. You need to learn how to submit. One of the things I will tell you, you know, there wasn't a lot of deep spiritual things that was in my childhood growing up. My mom just didn't know them. But one of the most amazing things that she taught me was to honor and respect other people. I remember standing at Hills. Anybody remember Hills department store? I remember standing at Hills department store, holding the door, and I couldn't move because there was a line of people just going in. I'm just waiting for them because I wasn't, you know, because that's the way I was taught. Not, and she didn't probably prefer me to stand there for everybody to go through, but I just didn't feel right letting the door close on somebody. Listen, you shouldn't let the door. There's nothing wrong with holding the door for somebody. It's called respect. It's called honor. Amen. Those kinds of things are good. Prefer other people. That's what we should learn to do. That's what we should teach our kids to do. But everybody's taught their kids. Well, and even parents, I'm going to help you. Parents with little ones, listen to me. There's a lot of times where that baby or those young ones, they're going to be requiring your every moment. You know what I mean? That's true. But there are times when it's good to not give it to them. There are times, I'm not talking about when they're in need, I'm not talking about that, but you just don't always cater to the little ones. Sometimes they have to learn to cater to your life. They have to learn to develop to your life. One of the things that we did do right, and I'm so glad we did this, Ezra went on her first vacation when she was 1 month old. 1 month old, we had nothing, but we were going to a friend's house and staying at a friend's house, but by God, we were going to go on this vacation. We took her 1 month old, and I'm going to tell you, everybody chipped in. I remember looking in the back seat and seeing either Mark or Caleb holding a bottle there and doing something else, like reading a book. See, that's what the way kids should learn. Praise the Lord. But she had to learn to have a life that was adapted to our life. She had to learn how to sit in a restaurant. To sit in church. That's why we don't mind. Like if the little kids, you know, we have the little ones, praise the Lord for the little ones. We love them. Doing so good. We got little ones all over here. And they learn how to sit in church. You know, when Sophia first started sitting in church, she didn't do so well. But look at her now. Look at her sitting there like a big girl and just so well. Yeah, and she's like, don't look at me. Don't point to me. Praise the Lord. But see, that's exactly what kids need to do. But it's good that she learned that she has to sit there quietly, like she does. See, she had to learn to adapt. It's good to teach kids to do what the adults do, but to be quiet when they do so. Do you know that we can have a ministry dinner? We can have a dinner with any minister. And for years now, we've been, and especially our little kids, but obviously Mark should know better for quite a while. And he does. He does good. Praise the Lord. But I'm just saying for the little kids don't necessarily know better. But we can sit in a ministry dinner sometimes for hours, and our kids can sit there and listen and not say one word. Praise the Lord. Why is that? It's not because we're so great. It's because they were taught right. It's because they, and they're just taught these principles, the principles of the word. You prefer other people first. Amen. We're not done yet there, though. We're going to flip over. Go to verse 27. So we were in 21. Skip down to verse 27. The verses in between that we just kind of skipped over were just the actual communion verses, you know, that we usually read when we take communion. But notice that this stuff is the sandwich around it. Praise God. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So you will be guilty if you eat and drink in an unworthy manner, take communion in an unworthy manner, you will be guilty of crucifying the Lord, essentially, is what it's saying. You will be guilty. Not as a collective, you will be, if you do this in an unworthy manner. I never knew what the unworthy manner was. Dr. Dufresne taught us, thank God. He taught us through the word. Amen. But the, let the man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Now, examining himself is good. Praise the Lord. But what are you examining when you're, am I a good person? Am I doing this? It's none of that stuff. See, I also wasn't taught that. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the importance of the Lord's body. What is the Lord's body? Over and over and over again, the body of Christ is the church of God. It's not the church of God like the organization. It's you and I. It's the fellowship of believers. We are the body of Christ over and over and over again. Not discerning the Lord's body. And notice in the scriptures that we just read before that, it was talking about doing everything for yourself. Jumping the line, making sure you're full, making sure you, you know, so one person's drunk and one person is thirsty. What does that mean? One person had too much. Yeah. Yeah, I just got something to say. If I don't go through the line first when we have church picnics, I don't get any deviled eggs. I'm just not, I like to, if I get to a place where they have deviled eggs, I'd say, I'm going to take a couple of these because whenever I get a chance, which is only church picnics, I never get any deviled eggs. And then I look over somebody else's plate and they got four of them. You make every... No, we don't need deviled eggs drop off the house. But you know, that course is a joke. You know, sometimes, you know, people make deviled eggs. They're not going to make a gazillion of them. And a lot of times, my aunt makes good deviled eggs, don't you? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Do you want a deviled egg? Everybody's going to be coming up to me. And that's not what I'm talking about. That's really just a joke. But, you know, really, that's what people are doing. They're just like, oh, mine, me. You know, and we're all guilty of that. Like, there's plenty of times. Well, the other night, we were like that. We were in the chocolate store. I told this last night. I'll tell it again today. We're in the chocolate store. Romolo's in Erie. Phenomenal. The best chocolate I've ever had. Oh, my God. It'll change your life. But we're in there, and I'm like, and last night, we're coming home from church, and see, this is selfishness that affected myself. Because I was like, I was just thinking about what I'm going to get. Okay, this is what I'm going to get. And I got what I got, and we took it and ate it and consumed it real quickly. But last night, we went home from church. And my wife and I, she was making sandwiches as I was driving home. I was sitting there thinking after I finished my sandwich, I'm like, man, if I had the foresight, a piece of chocolate would have been really good tonight. So if I had saved one, you know, but see, I was so consumed with that moment that I didn't think about any other time, you know, and I could have just bought an extra piece of candy and had it. But that's the point, is that we see selfishness, it just drives us to that moment, and it doesn't fill us. Amen? Praise the Lord. What verse was I on? Not discerning the Lord's body, verse 30. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Listen, when it says many sleep, it means many are dead. It doesn't mean that everybody who's died or everybody who's sick, this is the reason. But this is a reason that many people you find are going without. Many people in the body of Christ are going out because they have no idea. They have no clue about the Lord's body. They don't discern the importance of the Lord's body, of coming together, of being together. Do you know why God gave us communion? It wasn't just to think about what Jesus did for us. The reason God gave us communion was so that we would get together and fellowship and consider what the body of Christ actually is. That's what communion is all about. Communion was not about just doing this thing, ordinance, once in a while. It was about the coming together of the people. It was Acts 2:42, what we got on the wall out there, that they broke bread and they came together. That's what that was all about. Amen? For and look what it says here. If we would judge ourselves, verse 31, we would not be judged. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, I was talking to Pastor Michael about some real sensitive things. And I said, so Pastor, how do you keep yourself thinking right about this and yet still be honorable in this certain situation? And he pointed up to the wall at a mirror. That's all I needed to know. It's the mirror. Look at yourself. Judge yourself. Examine yourself. See, am I doing what I need to do? Am I part of what God's doing? Because if you're just doing your own thing, you're not part of what God's doing, because God only does it collectively. I said, God only does it collectively. Amen? Let me ask you, could Jesus have ministered to everybody if he wanted to? Could he have ministered to everybody? He knew so much more than the disciples. And if anything, they slowed him down at times. He didn't need them. Jesus didn't need their lack of faith. How many times did he turn to them? Well, he said, how long will I bear with you? That's how he looked at it. He didn't need them, but he brought them along, didn't he? Why? It shows us something, doesn't it? God didn't want solo lone wolves out there doing their own thing. He wanted them together. He wanted to bring people together. God is always about bringing people together, using them collectively, making a unit. Listen, if you're somebody who's not used in the local church and you see other people that are very used in the local church, what you're doing is you're watching the body be the body, but you'll also watch them be blessed. I don't want to just watch someone be blessed. I want to be part of that blessing. Amen? If there's blessing to be had with being part of something, oh, by God, I want to be part of it. Amen? If there's something more that we can go into, glory to God. Praise the Lord. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Amen. Now turn with me. We're closing here. Ephesians 4. Praise the Lord. I'm getting through it tonight, love. Today. It's today. Sometimes you'll lose track of where you're at, but we're today. Praise the Lord. My weekend is like one day. I'm just telling you the truth. It's like from Saturday morning till Sunday afternoon. It's like one day. Like I said, it's kind of one day, but it's like it's all just it, like it's 2 days, just kind of yeah. A lot of Sunday afternoons are just rest from the weekend. But praise the Lord. 4:4 Ephesians 4:4. Amen. There is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I want to stop a second because we see one baptism is tripping me up for years, maybe tripping some of you up. The Bible actually speaks of, there's about, you could probably really come down to about 7 different types of baptisms that the Bible actually speaks of. Not all of them are for Christians. Not all of them, there's 3 specifically that we are to experience. That are for Christians to experience. But there are 7 different types of baptisms talked about in the Bible. Amen? Some of them you can't even be part of because it's like Old Testament stuff like that. But the 3 that we are to be part of course, is water baptism. First and foremost is baptism into Christ, and that's what this is talking about. The baptism into Christ is when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's when you become part of the body of Christ. Amen? Baptism, and that's what it's talking about. There's one baptism into Christ, into salvation. The second water baptism we're all pretty familiar with. That's where we dunk you underwater and hold you down for a few minutes. No, it's where we get washed. That is an outward symbol that's not mandatory for salvation, but it is an outward symbol to the world that I have received Jesus is what that is. Amen. And then, of course, there's baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And that is not the only time. I mean, when you get baptized into Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. You have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate act. And so, and that's for another time, but praise the Lord. So I just wanted to throw that out there for you right now. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so God has called us to one body, has called us to be together. There are no lone I's or separate U's or however many vowels you can come up with. Praise the Lord. Or vowels. Letters? Vowels. Was that a vowel? Those were vowels. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was good with the vowels. I was fine with the vowels. I mean, there was other letters. I was thinking the whole alphabet, but praise the Lord. But they're not all vowels, just in case you didn't know, but there's no separate I's or separate U's. We're all together in one. We are called together to be one. And we're called to go in a direction. Now, that being said, that does not exclude a plan for your own life. God will have a plan for your own life. But what I have found is this, and I found this is a universal truth, that God's plan for your own life is discovered as you walk out the plan. So as you come together as a church, I didn't know I was called to pastor, But then when I had served in the local church and been part of the local church and what God was doing and been used there and all these, you know, things, all these things were going on, all of a sudden, God started revealing his plan to me and to others for my life. And those all coincided. And it worked perfectly as we went out. And we're more blessed today because we're more in that plan. Amen. And so that's all the goal of a believer should be, is not like, Lord, what's the end goal? But Lord, what do we do right now? And Lord, show me as we go. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He will be with you to show you exactly all along the way. And those things will develop and they'll become greater. And God will do great things for you. Amen? And through you. Praise the Lord. So if you want transformation in your life, the first thing you're going to have to do is do what we've been talking about all year and transform your mind. So I will close with Romans 12:2. Praise the Lord. Can we bring that up? Do we have that? We have the ability to bring that up or no? Romans 12:2. I'll just read it to you. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You cannot be transformed until you think right about the body of Christ. You can't be transformed until you think right about the things God is doing. Amen?